that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to this fine October weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we're talking about an event called Art in the Windows. Throughout the month of October, many local artists are showing their works in the windows of downtown Chico businesses. This Art in the Windows event kicks off tonight, starting at 5 o'clock, with an art walk and multi-store reception, where you'll be able to see all the artwork and meet several of the artists in person. On today's program, we talk with two of those artists. And today, we'll take you to Chico Theater Company, where they're getting ready for opening night, tonight, of the play Making God Laugh. The play shows an American family, mother and father and their three now adult children, as they get together for various holiday celebrations in the 1980s, then the 1990s, then the 2000s and beyond. The play has lots of laughs, but also many surprising and sometimes deeply emotional elements. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tonight, at Reading's Riverfront Playhouse, the romantic comedy Somewhere in Between. Showtimes tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Tomorrow in Reading, at the Pilgrim Congregational Church, the Oak Song Music Society presents Spook Handy. His tribute to folk icons Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie starts at 8 o'clock. At the Orland Art Center, the exhibit A Handsome Harvest features paintings by Marilyn Walsh and ceramics by Michelle Turner. Meet these artists at a reception going on right now at the center and lasting until 7 o'clock. At the Center for the Arts in Chico, California Regional Theater presents Disney's Broadway musical, Newsies. The show opens tonight at 7:30 and has two performances tomorrow, 2 o'clock and 7:30. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Tomorrow night at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, the Daniel Histan Memorial Concert, this year titled Classically Band, featuring the Chico State Wind Ensemble and the Alumni Band. The music begins at 7:30. Sunday, at the university's Zing Recital Hall, faculty member Joe Quivi performs violin pieces from Spain, Mexico, and Argentina in the concert With a Spanish Accent, which begins at 2 o'clock. On Chico's visual art scene, 1078 Gallery shows paintings by Wyatt Hersey in the exhibit Just Lying on the Grass. 1078 Gallery is open Thursday through Saturday, 12:30 to 5:30, and Sunday from noon to 3. Also in Chico, MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, hosts the photography exhibit Black and White in Black and White, Images of Dignity, Hope, and Diversity in America, and its companion exhibit, Silence Out Loud. MONCA's hours, 11 to 5, Thursday through Sunday. In Chico State's Humanities Building at the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery, see the exhibit Dog Days, works by Vietnamese-American artist Trong Ya Win. His whimsically odd and oddly political objects can be seen Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4. In the same building, the Janet Turner Print Museum has a show, Deep Etch, Legends of Chico Printmaking, which displays works by former Chico State art faculty. The Turner's open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tonight, at the Paradise Performing Arts Center, the Waylon Jennies. This trio of women combine their three distinct voices for a night of music you won't forget. The Jennies start Waylon at 7:30. At the Acting Company in Yuba City, the classic American musical Gypsy, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Born on this date, playwright and former president of the Czech Republic, Václav Havel, who pointed out that theater is there to search for questions. It doesn't give you instructions.
Dolores Mitchell, to tell you about the Downtown Chico Business Association's Art in the Windows. 34 local downtown businesses have invited artists to put art in their windows for the month of October. Tonight is the reception. It starts at 5 p.m. in Downtown Chico in about 2 hours. There are actually 18 receptions. And of those 18 receptions, 10 of them are what are called signature events, which means there's wine tasting, and local breweries are present, and there's snacks, and there's music. So it's a wonderful event. I'm going to be speaking with two of the artists. First, Tanya Mead Mullins, showing at Kirk's Jewelry.
I do dye on silk painting. I will have some of my framed work, and I will also have what I call my 3D hangings, which use different weights of silk and the translucency of the silk to portray an image from one layer to the next layer to the next layer and create a interest in movement and light.
If you have several layers of silk suspended with a little space between them, the slightest breeze is going to create a shimmering effect.
That's true, especially when these pieces are hung away from the wall. They can be hung both as wall pieces, which in Kirk's Jewelry, they will be actually in the interior of the space and not in the window. You'll have to come in and have some wine and some snacks on the inside to see my work. The hangings are quite large. I also have some framed pieces, a series of roses, and also a series of butterflies with metallic gold leaf and silver leaf backgrounds that have then a patina put over the tops, kind of jewel-like little pieces. The technique is very unusual. I don't really know of anybody else in this area who is doing dye on silk painting. It's all brush work. When the painting's finished, the dyed painting has to go through a steaming process that bonds the dye with the fiber. The dye becomes part of the fiber, as opposed to a paint that would sit on top of the fiber and obscure it. This makes it so you can still see the beautiful iridescence of the silk. It's also not subject to moisture or dirt, so you don't have to put it behind glass. You don't have reflections.
I'm turning now to Christian Garcia, who is actually going to be painting something during the reception.
I will be painting live within Anika Burke, the fashion boutique downtown. I am going to be painting a conscious piece about awareness and events happening within our country as well as other countries, things that I'm moved by and I think that are important for other people to get behind and be aware of.
What are you painting on?
Three large door panels, essentially closet doors. They will be an installation at Anika Burke. Will we be prepping them and having them ready to showcase? We'll be trying to complete the pieces tonight at the event.
I understand there is an audience participation aspect to your piece.
Yes, we've had these pieces up for a few weeks outside of Anika Burke. The purpose was to have people write on them, to be inclusive, to explain how they feel about certain topics and situations. just a self-expression to be a part of this larger art piece.
So tonight, when people come to the reception, can they continue to make comments?
Yes, there will be some time, and if people feel like they want to participate, there will be designated areas or parts of the piece that they can contribute to.
I'd like you to say a bit more about the subject of your paintings.
The subject of the paintings this time is the child separation from the parents, the things that are happening within our country as well as other countries, concentration camps, the seclusion of and separation of families. I feel like it's a very important subject that people need to be aware of. The artwork is meant to provoke questions as well as explain something bigger that's happening beyond us.
You have training as a muralist and quite a lot of experience with that.
I've been painting large-scale murals for about 10 years now. In Chico alone, I have about 10 standing murals throughout the city that you can see in public spaces, such as 20th Street and Fair, also the Chico Mall in the food court, and commissioned pieces from certain businesses.
Tanya, your subject matter is truly transcendent. You have a sense of mystery, color, and something that's very awe-inspiring. Has that always been characteristic of your desire to make art?
I'm kind of old school in the sense that I really value the beauty and grace of line. When I was growing up, there was a tendency to not really value things that were beautiful per se. My quest is always to push those boundaries as to how much can I make something as graceful and elegant and make it so you want to keep looking at it. When you look at it, it makes you feel good. It evokes feelings that are beneficial and uplifting. To me, that is successful when I look at something and it makes me feel good.
Christian, I'd like to know about your relationship to the materials that you use, such as these doors that you've found.
I know that I like to use recycled materials. The materials and the medium that I use is typically spray paint, house paints that are recycled from people's garages or painting projects, figuring out and finding different tools to use that are around us already. Recently, the direction that I'm trying to go is a lot more conscious. Things that I'm feeling that are important in the world, stuff that is socially not discussed as much.
How's your experience been working with a local business person?
It's been pretty good, pretty receptive. At first, it was a little difficult as a youth, but now that I've created a portfolio and had public space work where people have seen what it is, they are more receptive, accepting, and there's so many more murals that have gone up in the city of ours. A lot of people, I believe, are really gaining a whole lot of knowledge of what murals can do and how they beautify our city.
The Downtown Chico Business Association's Art in the Windows. Tonight, the reception starts at 5 p.m. in downtown Chico. When you go on this art walk, be sure that you go to the side streets as well. There's some wonderful side street businesses. And also be sure you go up First Street in the direction of the News and Review, because that's where Art Etc. has moved, right next to A Beautiful Life Furnishings. Both of them have receptions and also music. It'll be a wonderful event. Well, see you tonight.
Tonight is opening night for the latest production at Chico Theater Company, a play titled Making God Laugh. I got to go to a dress rehearsal this week, and I talked with the director and cast.
I'm at Chico Theater Company, and I just saw the new show on stage, Making God Laugh. It's about a family at various holiday times through three or four decades. And I have the director here, Rick Anderson. What's it been like guiding this show as this family with all these different personalities in it go through 3 or 4 decades of holiday seasons?
One of the things that's been fun about it is to really think about each and every character and their arc. It's like when we're in our 20s, we all have these ideals, right? We all think that we're going to go out and conquer the world, and we're ready to go do that. And you see that in these adult children in their 20s as the play opens. And then 10 years later, they're in their 30s, and they're still optimistic, but they're trying to figure it out. They get into their 40s, and, you know, life has become what it is. Now they are there, they're on the path, they understand where they're going, and then they reach their 50s. Their parents are elderly, life has continued to change, and hopefully we like them, or they like us, have continued to grow as we move through all of these life chapters.
This play moves through specific holidays throughout these 3 or 4 decades. What is it about holiday get-togethers for families that is particularly intense?
It is interesting. When you think about holidays and families that come together at the holidays, they are some of the craziest times, right? I mean, that's when things go crazy with families. That holiday time when everyone gets together, there's a little too much food, a little too much libation, a little too much competition perhaps, and siblings are siblings and they're happy with saying what they really think to each other. And then there's this thing that happens sometimes, and it happens in this play, with moms and daughters. We get to watch this developing, changing relationship that is very challenged at times between the mother, Ruthie, and her daughter, Maddie. And I think it's one of the most interesting relationships in the entire show.
There's a real mix in this play between comedy, lots of laughs, but also a truthful kind of drama, which really reveals things about these characters that are real. How did you balance the comedy and the drama in this?
For me, this play is all about love. It is about acceptance. It is about forgiveness. And in the end, it's all about finding peace. Audiences will laugh a lot, but that humanity, that love, acceptance, forgiveness, sense of peace comes through in this comedy so that people really understand humanity and they understand the human experience. And I believe that people will relate to it. They'll relate to it irrespective of their age. Senior citizens, 20-year-olds, will all relate to this show and find something in it that really connects to them and calls to them.
We're talking about Making God Laugh. That's the play that's currently on stage at Chico Theater Company. And we've been talking with the director, Rick Anderson. Now I'm here with Jennifer Davis. Tell me about the part that you play.
I play Maddie in this show, who is in just about every way exactly who I really am in real life. It's a very emotional piece for me to really kind of reenact my own story with my own mother.
What's it like being in this family on stage at Chico Theater Company, going through 30 or 40 years of life with that family?
You know, what's really interesting about 30 or 40 years with this family is that, much like myself, everyone kind of plays a piece that's very, very similar to themselves in true life. So to have all of us come together and be quite so dysfunctional is a really beautiful puzzle piece.
So if you were going to explain to someone who's thinking of going out to see a play, why would they want to go see Making God Laugh?
Well, I think that there's a lot of pressure on families to be very happy and to be very perfect, especially on the holidays. What people might enjoy about this show is seeing a more honest, I think, portrayal of what it's like to have a lot of people come together for a bunch of holidays over a bunch of years. It's a very humbling and true experience, I think.
Now I'm talking with Andrew Quick, who plays one of the sons of the family in Making God Laugh. So in the first scene of this play, you're considered the good son by your mother, the son who is what she wants the son to be. And the other two children are kind of black sheep who aren't doing what she wants them to. What's it like going from being the golden child, the good son, and then through the play, well, there's some surprises. I won't get into it, but you have some changes. What's it like going through that journey?
In the beginning, I'm doing what my mother would hope for her children, being a priest. I mean, what more can a mom ask for? The other kids aren't just really meeting mom's expectations. That just causes some interesting conflicts in the show. Later on, my character also causes some of those conflicts too, as you'll find out.
Now we have Rob Kennedy. Tell me about your character.
Rick is, the chaos. Rick is my older brother. I was lucky enough to have someone in my life to draw upon to really inform this character for me. He's a little kooky, he's a little crazy. He always brings an energy and a chaos to the family gatherings that really keeps everyone on their toes.
What's it like for you to go through so many decades, so many phases of life, although I'm not sure that your character changes that much in the kind of person he is?
Yeah.
He looks different through each scene.
Well, it's interesting to try to play it younger. You know, I'm getting to be a little older. I'm 46 now. And so playing a 25-year-old guy, you know, luckily I still feel some of that youthful energy in my own spirit that helps me to, you know, channel that into this part. The funny thing is when I auditioned for this role, I actually auditioned for the role of Bill, who's the father, you know, thinking that I was too old. But luckily enough, I carried a certain energy that lent itself well to this guy and really helped. Helped our production.
This is based around holiday celebrations over the years. Were holidays a special thing for your family, even when you got older?
Oh, absolutely. Starting from when I was a child, I mean, this is almost a mirrored reflection of my childhood growing up and you know, a Midwest nuclear family with the extended family within 30 miles. Everybody travels and everybody sees each other on every holiday. And, you know, this is a little representative of, you know, the empty nest years. So it's a little different, but you can feel the grains of truth in every family gathering. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we'll be sitting around as a cast just hanging out and the lines from the dialogue will just be appropriate, or in a family situation and the lines just come up, and that's a really a sign of really good writing and relatable topics.
Here is Marion Jeffrey. You play the mother of the family. What's that like being this, I'll call her dynamic character, maybe controlling character?
Maybe controlling character. There are some universal things about being a mom. Even if you are extra dynamic, even if you are controlling, you love your children so much. And this desire to keep the family together, to see your children succeed, to see them get what they need in order to succeed, that, you know, your fences just keep getting a little bigger. And maybe Ruthie's fences don't quite expand as much as they should, but, oh, she absolutely loves her children.
There's a pretty interesting revelation in the show, something that I think Ruthie has been not dealing with. Let's not get into specifics because I don't want to give anything away, but what was it like having that repressed secret and playing with that as an actor?
Ruthie, I think, did deal with it in the best way that she could, coming from the generation she came from with all of these restrictions from society, from the culture inside a town, from religion. And when all of those voices in a patriarchy are saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and she decided, okay, I'm going to live by those rules. Somebody died in her past, and I think at that point she decided, okay, I'm going to play by the rules now. It scared her that much.
Well, you're going through three or four decades with your onstage family with this show. What was it like, that journey of family?
At times, it's heartbreaking. With every single child, there are heartbreaking moments, some of them more extended than others. And then you do accept, or you say, oh, no. Okay, this one's doing this right now, and your children are always your children, and we always are providing that basis for them.
So when you tell friends and family about this show and invite them to come to see it at Chico Theater Company, what do you say to get them interested in the show?
Oh, well, my friends, I say, I'm in a show called Making God Laugh. And in my own personal life, there's been a lot of disruption in the last year and a half. So I say the name of it is, and then they laugh with me because we make our plans, right? And I also tell people it's about how a family sticks together even through the difficulties, that the love remains. The love continues to be that glue.
We've been talking with the cast of Making God Laugh, the comedy drama at Chico Theater Company, and that plays through the 21st of October. We're here with Mark Edson. And if you're familiar with Chico Theater Company, you know that Mark has been for decades the leader of CTC. But now he's an actor. Tell me about your character and how he fits into this play and this family.
Bill is an interesting role to play because he doesn't do much in the show except kind of piece everyone together, except for late in the show. Then he finally has his moment where he's like done being Mr. Nice Guy, and he really has to take the upper hand to kind of pull the family together. It's a great show, and I have just thoroughly enjoyed being on stage again.
You were central in choosing this show to be part of the season. Why did you choose it?
Well, I was familiar with Sean Grennan, the author. He had written The Tin Woman, which Theater on the Ridge did a couple of years ago, which I absolutely loved. I saw it twice. He had sent out an email say, hey, you know, look at my new play. It's something they send to a lot of community theaters. I said, hey, Sean, I'd love to see the play. And he actually wrote me back personally and said, great, here's a copy of it. And I read it through once and knew immediately that I wanted to do it. The story of the family that can be a little bit dysfunctional, but in the end really still loves each other. And they can have a character that isn't totally lovable, but is still loved.
Were you surprised as you got into this show about how funny it was, but then how moving and true it was?
That's one of the things that really attracted me to it. It had some elements of farce in it, but it was all real because he went back to four decades and picked out some funny things that were happening each decade, like, you know, like the big block cell phones and talking about Enron, you know, as a good investment and those kind of things. That's the humor that I loved. But at the same time, then progressing for 40 years with this family and what happens to the various characters and how in the end, things can be okay. Even if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out, it can still be okay if you've got that family love. He did a great thing at the end, and you'll have to see it when you come see it, but the Shakespeare speech at the end, I thought was just really a dynamic moment that sums up the play, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now.
Making God Laugh is the play that's on stage at Chico Theater Company. And it runs through, what, the 21st, is that right?
Yeah, Sunday the 21st.
Could I get my way home? And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can always listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.